Ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much for joining us for tonight's Comic Book Club. And now, here are your hosts, Pete LePage, Justin Tyler, and Alex Zober.
Hey, what's up, everybody? Welcome to Comic Book Club. I'm Alex.
I'm Justin.
I am Pete.
And that's our man of the booth, Booth Man. And guys, here's a big news story that we've been keeping you constantly updated on. Yes, what's going on with us being in Lock and Key?
Oh, yeah.
Very big news story. I know you've all been following it. I know there's been a lot of stories on CNN. We, of course...
Yep. The Comic News Network.
Oh!
Pretty good.
Check it out.
As we all know, I was first featured as Dr. Zalbin back...
Featured is a strong word.
In the classic Lock and Key, I don't remember the issue.
You're a jerk.
Yeah,
you're
I am a jerk. But it was pretty amazing for everybody. I think we all found it very magical.
Well, let me just say, when that happened, I was like, what the fuck is this guy? Yeah. How did he get his face in this comic that we all like?
And the answer is, buddy.
Yeah.
Then, later on, Pete was featured in Lock and Key Omega,
Number two. I think it was.
Yeah, on a couple of pages as a guy who was hanging out playing some games with some of our main characters.
I got a fist bump.
You got a fist bump. That was pretty cool. Yeah. So we've all been wondering when Justin is going to show up.
Because I'm the third one.
Yeah.
Because I'm the third one.
Well,
so it makes sense.
You want to build, you know, rule of threes.
Yeah. Exactly.
Get to the most ridiculous thing third.
Right, exactly. Yeah. Believe me, I know my role.
Yeah, there you go.
And
so.
Oh, gross.
I just want to say, tomorrow, Lock and Key Omega number 4 comes out.
Ooh, baby.
Yes.
And I don't, no spoilers whatsoever, no spoilers, but somebody who looks a lot like Justin appears in the book.
Yeah!
And also, Pete gets to make out with a girl.
Yeah!
For the first time ever.
First time
in
ever.
Fiction or reality.
Pete, you'll have to tell us when the issue comes out what that feels like.
Yeah, and actually you can take some pointers from the drawing of yourself on how to make out with a lady.
I'm actually just really hoping that you get murdered.
Well, Pete, let me just say, from what I know about the issue, you and I are hanging out at the same place.
Uh-oh.
I think we both dying.
Oh, no!
The last man standing in the Lock and Key universe is Dr. Zalbin.
Ah,
the most exciting character of the 21st century.
Yeah, I think the last couple of panels are going to be me looking at everybody's dead bodies, and I'm like, well, looks like this case is locked.
Good stuff, man. Oh.
If Joe Hill's listening, I'm just throwing that out there. Yeah. It's a couple of ideas.
Come I'm sure he'd want to ruin his amazing project.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then I jump in the air and I freeze, but you can't notice because it's a comic book.
Because you're already frozen.
Book. There you go. Guys, I'm very excited about the guest that we have on the show tonight. He's playing Claude in the upcoming show on Adult Swim, Your Pretty Face is Going to Hell. Ladies and gentlemen, Craig Rowan!
Yeah! Welcome, sir. Welcome.
Craig.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Craig Claude.
The names are so similar, it's confusing.
Yeah. Was it...
I was in character the whole time, so I didn't respond to Craig. And
I've known that about you. Can I ask you real quick, what character are you in right now?
I am Craig, but it's spelled with an E after the G.
Oh, like
what?
Craig.
Craig. Craig.
Sorry, did I say Craig? I meant Craig.
Craig.
So, Your Pretty Face is Going to Hell premieres on Adult Swim on April 18th.
At midnight.
Yeah, what's the idea of the show?
It's basically corporate hell, literally. It's, I'd say it's the anti... I can't even remember the show that I'm supposed to reference. It's the anti Cheers.
Office. Yeah.
It's the anti. No, it's what's the Touched by an Angel? It's like Touched by an Angel in Hell. So it
great
follows. Ref. Yeah, guys. Everybody who listens to this is a fan of Touched by an Angel, right?
Yep. Yeah, we run a Touched by an Angel podcast that is right after this one.
Okay, wow. I'll be here.
You should stick around
as Crazel. That'll be my
the
next
Angel Crazel.
So it takes place in hell, and the main character is played by Henry Zebrowski.
Yeah!
Who is a hilarious man.
Yeah, he's
man,
a funny guy.
Has to go up to Earth from hell and please Satan by getting some more minions or turning some other people. And I'm Henry's character, Gary, his intern. And nice. I sort of usurp his power throughout the short season. And, it's awesome.
Cool. Sweet. What was it like working with Adult Swim?
It was amazing. The guys who wrote it, Dave Willis and Chris Casper Kelly, Dave co-created Squidbillies and Aqua Teen Hunger Force, and Chris writes for Squidbillies and other amazing shows on Adult Swim. So I'm a huge fan. They're awesome. Yeah. I got to visit the offices, and they're sort of just like you'd want them to be.
Toys.
Yes, toys.
Yeah.
It's like,
really? That's the first thing you thought of with Adult Swim offices?
A lot of toys.
And like upside down or something.
Oh, yeah. No, cool. There is an anti-gravity booth, which yeah. is one of the centerpieces. No, yeah. but everybody there is amazing. It's all in Atlanta, so they're like sort of celebrities in Atlanta. If you say Adult Swim, they sort of let you into the through the back door. And
ooh, to the, all the clubs?
To all the – I go. You know me. I go clubbing and
Craig clubs.
We be clubbing.
Yeah.
Craig clubs. Yeah. Craig does not.
Yeah.
Craig is engaged and going to be married soon. So Craig, yeah. Craig doesn't, but Craig does club. Yeah.
Good. That won't work with your future wife, by the way.
Oh, no, no, no.
Craig is coming out tonight.
It's, like, it's basically like Stephen Urkel and Stefan Urkel.
Yeah.
me and Craig.
And this is your Stefan? This is the cool version?
Yeah, I usually wear...
Maybe lose the glasses, Craig.
I usually wear a blue hoodie. Now I'm wearing a brown hoodie.
Edgy.
Yeah. Yeah.
Brown is the edgiest color. Yeah. As you know.
Stefan would be proud.
So I don't know if you were a fan of Adult Swim back in the day, and by back in the day I mean like 4 years ago, but they made the transition from just being cartoons to live action,
yes.
which this show is. What's your thoughts on that?
I think it's cool. I mean, I'm a fan. I mean,
good
first
answer.
Of all, yeah. First of all,
I'm angry about it.
I hate it, and I'm
my
pissed,
show away.
Yeah, I'm pissed that they employed me in a live action show. No, I think it's really cool. It's funny because they just released. They released like a teaser of the season of Your Pretty Face is Going to Hell Online, and I, of course, have to look at the YouTube comments. And, of course, the very first one I think is very racist somehow. But I feel like people are, I guess, diehard old-school fans are not into live action, but I think the people that they're giving the live action shows to are incredible. Like,
yeah.
I'm a huge fan of John Glazer. I love Delocated. Children's Hospital is like... Yeah. The funniest guys, newsreaders from those guys. And
yeah.
It's just they're giving amazing comedians sort of free, Tim and Eric. They're giving them like free rein to experiment and do these things. And sort of it seems like Adult Swim is more hands off than most network entities. And I think it allows for incredible stuff. So but I also love I just got turned on to Super Jail.
Yeah. Super Jail is awesome.
The cartoon stuff is incredible, too. I think that all around they just they do a cool thing. So are you into the live action or are you?
Yeah, I think it's fine. I think we've had enough of it at this point that people should kind of get over it. And I agree with
yeah.
you. I think the tone of the stuff fits into what Adult Swim does.
Yeah,
you
absolutely.
Know, it makes sense.
See, I don't
think with this show, Your Pretty Face, like the cool thing is you can see the elements of like it's the guys who do Aqua Teen and Squid. You know,
yeah.
like there are those cool elements that – it's like a live-action cartoon, which I don't know if they've done quite that before, so I'm excited to see what the response is.
Did you get to go to any parties with, like, Meatwad and Frylock and whatever?
I partied hard. Well, Dave Willis is the voice of Wheatmod.
Cool.
That's the craziest friend.
Yeah,
Wheatmod. Dave Willis does Meatwad and Carl, and so I got to hang with him, and Dana Snyder, who does... Master Shake is in some of the episodes. Yeah. So I got to hang out with them, party. And at Comic-Con, where I was on this show on Comic-Con, I got to see they did a party on a battleship, and the band Death Clock played, which was like, I mean, that's the ultimate
Adult
Swim party.
Yeah, that's amazing.
So I moshed. Craig partied.
Craig partied? Mosh is the ultimate form of party.
Yeah, I know. Listen, Craig strikes out a lot.
Yeah.
Craig isn't that cool.
So you're doing
any girls want to fuck Craig? I'll be in the mosh pit.
All the girls turn around immediately and make out with other
they
people.
They beat the shit out of you in the mosh pit.
Yeah, if I could think of a good place to fuck, it would be a mosh pit.
You don't know if it's happening or
yeah,
not.
Yeah, exactly. Somebody, like something, you're going to get hit in the face no matter what. You don't know what it
was.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's sex to me. It's just getting beat in the face by big weird dudes.
You don't turn to Comic Book Club for your sex advice?
Yeah, no, I know. You guys do help me out a great deal. I love life.
Yeah, pretty soon, starting tomorrow, Pete will know what it's like to kiss.
Yeah, so, I know. That's exciting.
Yeah, I'll have a whole I'll set up a kissing booth and a Q&A corner.
That's the adult thing to do is set up a kissing booth.
I don't know.
So this is a Family Matters episode.
Let's talk about your podcast. You have a podcast you're doing right now?
Yeah,
we have a huge lot of podheads out
here. Well, you know, it's a rival podcast because it exists, and I feel awesome.
We are on at the same time.
Yeah, we're exactly. it's called It's That Episode, and I invite comedians and guests over to my apartment to watch any TV show they choose, and we watch and we talk about a bunch of the show and a bunch of other crap. And actually, Justin was on an episode
recently. Very, very recently. Yeah.
Oh, wow.
What did you guys talk about?
We talked about Super Mario Brothers Super Show.
Oh, nice.
It was great. That show features Captain Lou Albano and sort of an aging Canadian actor playing Mario and Luigi.
Yeah.
And in this episode...
He plays both Mario and Luigi?
No, Captain Lou plays Mario and this Canadian actor
plays... And Captain
Lou
also plays Captain Lou in the episode.
In the episode we watched, really? Captain Lou himself shows up and Mario's like, I gotta go get some pizza or something. And then Captain Lou walks in. He's like, I wish your friend Mario was here. I'm a huge fan. And all this like crazy shit.
Was it filmed live?
Yeah, have you not seen the show?
No, I've never seen
the show. It's amazing.
It's insane. There's a live portion, then there's an animated...
You know what? Don't even watch it. Listen to the podcast.
Listen to the podcast. Great. That's a legitimate plug. That's like, a lot of plugs are just like, please watch my thing. That was a great time to say
that. I can actually honestly say you don't need to watch the show.
Yeah,
you can watch like 3 YouTube clips. It's sort of a nightmare.
Yeah.
But
should listen to that episode. It's very fun.
Yeah, the cool thing about the podcast is that the guest picks the show that we watch, so... I pick the guest, but the guest picks the program, so
that's
it's
cool.
Pretty fun to mess around and watch this.
What are some other good or terrible shows that you've seen?
I've seen a lot of bad shows. I watched The Client List with Casper Kelly, who wrote Your Pretty Face, and that was one of the worst ones I've seen. I watched...
Just very quickly, how many people did Jennifer Love Hewitt jerk off during that episode?
You know, it's all sort of like hinted at, so I'd say like 40 to 50.
The whole episode is just her reading names of people.
Yeah, exactly. The credits are the names of the people.
Yeah.
And I watched... if you want to hear Eddie Pepitone yell about... I want to say, what's the name of the show? My Super Sweet 16. He gets very angry at that. Matt Besser watched 16 and Pregnant. So those are the ones that people actually get angry at things.
That's
and then
really
I watched
funny.
I watched Suits recently, which was like the type of, and I feel bad because the guest I'm friends with him, he's Luke Cunningham, who writes for Fallon, and he's a fan of Suits. And like,
so you were...
And as we were watching Suits, it became obvious that I, like, didn't like it, and he sort of was like, oh, boy, I feel...
It feels terrible.
Yeah.
That's really awkward.
Yeah.
And you recently watched Batman the Animated Series.
That's
for those
right.
Fans of that show, yes. And that's a great episode.
That is a great episode. It was called...
With Gavin Spieler.
Almost Got Him.
Almost Got Him, which is one of the best episodes of Batman the Animated Series.
Yeah, clap it up for that. For the geniuses behind it. Yeah, that was really fun. I love watching TV, so it's cool to watch it with funny people and bullshit.
Cool. Where can people check that out?
They can check it out at google.com/search+it+that+episode. You can check it out at splitsider.com. It's on the Splitsider Network. Thank
great.
You. And I should really say that. And I forgot. Or craigrowan.com.
Yeah, just go AOL keyword that.
Yeah. Go to Crank. Do you remember that AOL game Crank? There was it was a trivia game. I think it was called Crank, and it was all about heroin.
That's a drug.
If you're speaking as craze, you should not know that information, by the way.
Well,
do you remember that AOL game? Cuckoo! Craig's back.
Well, I can also tell you that craze played that AOL game with my mom.
That's fucked up.
Yeah, I know. It was like you don't know Jack before you don't know Jack.
Yeah, cool.
What?
No, just... nerdy stuff.
I don't know.
Like nerdier stuff than we usually talk about.
Great. Speaking of nerdier stuff, I think we're going to move with our next section, which we like to call the stack.
Yeah!
Hooray! Nerdy. In the stack, we're going to talk about some comic books we particularly like this week. First one we're going to talk about is not a comic book we liked particularly this week.
Uh-oh.
But one we wanted to talk about anyway.
Yeah.
I think there's some stuff to like about it, though. Batman Incorporated, #9 from DC Comics. Now, Justin, you brought this one up. You want to chat about this a little
Justin,
bit?
Yeah, Justin, you brought this up.
You brought this
up. Don't punish me for it.
You brought this up on our house.
In this Robin died 1 month ago in this comic, and there was a fantastic sort of homage to Robin.
Yeah, no words. It was very powerful.
Yes. In
amazingly well done.
Correct. In Batman and Robin.
It was really good.
Which is like one of the best comics I've read all year, I think. So this is Grant Morrison following up on his idea to kill Damian. And in it, Batman is angry, but he talks a lot. And he yells at Alfred. He goes to Alfred, go on vacation. Because Alfred let Damian out to go join the fight as Robin.
I mean, let is a, you know what I mean? I mean, Alfred can't really stop Damian from doing
it. Well, that's what Alfred's like, I couldn't really stop him. And Batman says again, go on vacation.
By the way, that's pretty much the nicest thing you could yell at someone.
Yeah.
Go on a vacation that I'm going to pay for.
It's paid. Get out of here.
Can we briefly talk about the last page of the issue?
Yes, definitely.
So, end of the issue, Batman's been kind of simmering and seething the entire issue. He puts on his Batman costume, and the last page is him silently arched back, screaming at the heavens as bats fly all over the place.
Yeah. It's goofy. It does not make you feel bad.
No, I feel like they ruined it. The last issue was so powerful and so amazing. And this blew serious ass.
Yeah. Wait, can I also say that I'm just flipping through this right now. Before that page, which is pretty awesome in my mind, Batman says to a cow that's striped red and white, he says, Bat cow.
Yeah.
That's a character.
That's actually a really cool
that's
scene.
That's a cow that Damian saved and called Bat cow.
I'm into it.
Yeah, but
I'm,
now, what does the cow say back to him?
I think he says, moo, period.
Yeah.
So that's not a sound, that's a sentence.
Moo. Yeah, exactly. Moo. Well, so he's sort of, that's the eulogy for Damian.
Also, you guys have noticed Batcow has a Batman symbol across his eyes.
Oh,
right?
I did notice that. Yeah, thank you for your astute observation,
no
Alex.
Problem. I didn't, so really thank you.
One thing I want to point out that does happen this issue that I do think is not totally surprising, but kind of interesting. So over the course of this arc, Knight, who's kind of the Batman of the United Kingdom, also died less impactfully, I think, than Damian did.
Yeah.
But you have the British Prime Minister and his aide talking about, is there any way we can revive Knight? He's so important to the United Kingdom. And the Prime Minister says, the Knight was immensely popular and good for Britain as a whole. I realize there are no active Lazarus pits left, but surely, and for those of you who don't know, Lazarus pits are pits that can resurrect people. Uh-huh. And the aide says,
but they drive you insane.
Wah, wah, wah. And the aide says, that may not be strictly true, Prime Minister.
Yeah.
So I think we know how Damian's coming back, right?
Yeah, I think so. If I were DC, Damian, popular character, his death sold a lot of comics, I would have Damian come back as a villain, as like a villain child. And he joins Talia in evil and heading Leviathan or whatever. And then Batman ends up redeeming him back. That's what I think will happen.
If you were DC, you would be a multinational corporation and have a hard time appearing on the show.
Nah, I can figure it out. I sort of speak in corporate talk. You know me.
Yeah, no, I know. We'll add it to our verticals.
Yeah.
Excuse me?
I don't know. It's a thing. Don't worry about it.
Justin.
What did you think about this issue, Pete?
I pretty much said it sucked.
You know what, Pete? Go on vacation.
I will say.
Are you paying?
Yeah, of course.
Chris Burnham.
I fund all of your life choices.
Yeah, you're Justin Incorporated.
So, anyways, to sum it up, sort of a goofy issue. If you want to see like a real sum up of Robin's death, go read Batman, the most recent issue of Batman and Robin.
Yeah. Or read the one before it and then enjoy that.
Or just look into your heart.
There you go. Look into your
heart,
guys.
That's where Robin lives.
Next thing we're going to talk about this is Pete's Pick Hack Slash, number 25 from Image Comics.
Yeah.
This, of course, is the last
Keep it together, Pete.
Title.
Keep it together, buddy.
Last issue of a title that we've been talking about, I think, pretty much since the beginning of the show.
Yeah.
Since the start of the show.
Well, and let me just say, Pete told me before the show, this is the only comic he's ever taken notes on to talk about at the show.
Really?
Yeah, I actually wrote down stuff as
Did you bring those notes?
Yes, I did.
Let's see what you got. Pete did a term paper. For it.
I did.
Is it MLA formatted?
Uh-oh, his phone's not turning on. This is like
sometimes the old home button gets stuck.
I have a quick question about this comic book because I got to look at it a little bit before. Is this about Juggalos? Because
is actually about
like the
Juggalos.
First page, they meant like many of the term. I mean, Krage is a Juggalo.
Yeah.
So it feels very in that world.
Yeah.
Yeah, the basic idea of this comic book was there's this girl, Cassie Hack, She's the last survivor of a slasher, like in a slasher movie. She's the girl that lives, and she decides to go around killing slashers. So the first couple of miniseries and one-shots they did, she would kill Jason or Freddy or Chucky or take on monsters like that. It's grown and changed from there until we've gotten to the point where she's fighting Juggalos at a thing called the Black Lamp Society. Yep. So,
are you going to the Juggalo meetup this summer?
Yeah, I'll be there. You going to be there?
Yeah, totally.
Want to drive together?
Yeah, let's drive together. I plan on driving a four-wheeler that's one story tall.
All right, I plan on driving a one-wheeler that's four stories tall.
Cool. We should definitely really go together. So we're going
to
roll up
huge.
Hear
these notes. How many notes do you have?
Okay, so
cut to 45 minutes.
First off, I would like to say that I'm happy that Tim Seeley got to end it the way he wanted to. Sometimes comics end without the writer getting to do it in the way that they wanted to.
Yeah, not necessarily creator-owned comics, I think.
Yeah. But.
Right. It's okay, fine, fuck you. Really just
oh, it actually says fuck you in his notes
yeah,
as
yeah,
well.
Yeah, it says that there.
Says
so I was happy
out.
That at least he got to write an ending that he was happy with. As far as the ending, I was, you know, spoiler alert. I'm really glad it had that classic kind of slasher ending, you know, where it's like the end, but then you have that one little shot and there's hope.
For those of you who didn't read it, there's a Vlad's mask is hanging on the wall next to his chainsaw. The
right.
very last panel is someone's hand grabbing Vlad's mask.
Right. We can so just to give a little more background there, Vlad is Cassie's sidekick. He's super strong. He, spoiler, completely dies in this issue. Rather sadly,
yeah.
Cassie takes his distinctive mask, puts it on, goes a little nuts, kills the bad guy. At the end, that thing that we just talked about happens.
Yeah, yeah. So it was like, I was glad that we got to have that kind of fun slasher ending. That being said, I was a little disappointed how quickly I wanted more of Cassie kind of mourning Vlad a little bit. I was happy with the putting on his mask and going crazy. I thought that was a good homage to him. But I felt like maybe a little bit more would have been nice. Also, hang on, let me check the notes.
Going crazy is
I really
always
was,
a good homage.
I was
yeah,
happy.
Exactly.
I was really happy with the letters page. It was very much like Tim's. Hang on, wait for it.
Okay.
No.
Tim kind of talked very openly about the process and, like, writing this comic. And it was very much like his writing. It was very all out there, and he kind of wore his heart on his sleeve. So it was nice that he was so open with the fans about his comic and about the television deal and stuff that went through and didn't go through and all that kind of stuff. So it was, like, very open and very, like, guys, thank you for this. Like, he thanked the fans. He thanked the people who do podcasts. And it was really... I thought it was really,
really
well
nice.
Done. Yeah.
Well, I would say I know you covered the letters page. I want to ask you, what did you think of the staples and like the poly bag that held the comic? Like,
I'm getting that. It's in the notes.
Okay, good. Yeah, get to the real notes.
Yeah, yeah.
The paper stock. The font choice.
Yeah. By the way, do you guys think that staplers should get a credit on the front cover of comics?
Definitely.
Because I think they're very undervalued.
Yeah. Throw a bone to Swingline. You know, give them a chance.
They're getting phased out by the computer industry. They should get a little bit of love.
Digital staples have pretty much changed.
Yeah.
The industry.
It's hard to trust a digital staple, I will say. I feel like mine keep getting corrupted.
They're faster, but can't trust them.
I'm more of an analog dude.
So, yeah, I'm sure you guys agree it was a powerful issue.
That's it?
Very well done. Yeah.
That's all your notes?
Yeah, that's all my notes.
You had a lot more notes on that page. A lot of hearts.
Well, it was tough because after every note, you guys have a little some bullshit to say.
So I don't know. Have you ever been on this show before?
Yeah, no.
I thought this is good. I haven't really followed all of the Hack Slash in recent years, but I do think.
Be careful with what you say.
Why? What's going to happen?
I'm just saying this is a.
There's a bottle right in front of you that can break very easily.
He's putting on Vlad's mask right now.
Wait a second. That was going to end at the end of the issue.
Oh, is that your Vlad voice?
Oh no, he's just having a breathing problem.
It's kind of like a weird Rorschach.
But I thought this was nice. I wish there was more of a scene between Vlad and Cassie. The whole book for me has been revolved around their relationship, and we don't actually get to see like a closing moment between the two of them, really. Yeah. Besides him being like, oh, "I'm dead."
Yeah. I will say it was pretty much worth it for the page of Cassie putting on Vlad's mask. I thought that was pretty cool.
Yeah, that feels like the moment that Tim was building toward.
Absolutely. And he leaves it open. He'll probably come back to it at some point.
I mean, come on.
I mean.
He's got to.
Tim. Come on.
Tim, yeah. Tim.
Come on, Tim.
Tim did it.
All right, Tim.
I like Tim.
I like Tim. Tim did it.
I like Tim. I call him Timothy, but I call him Tim, and I like him.
Yeah. Thanks, Greg.
Great.
We're going to move on with Justin's pick, Grace, which was East of West, number one, also from Image Comics, from Jonathan Hickman, and is it Nick Patera?
Can I just say something about Rigoda. This? The last one, the Hack Slash. The reason I couldn't comment it is because it was in a bag, and I was worried to open it because you were talking so passionately about it. I was like, I don't want to.
See that? Your bag intimidated him, and it made him not read it.
Good.
No, that's not good.
I didn't want his grubby fingers all over.
He doesn't have grubby fingers.
No, to be fair, they are grubby.
Yeah. Oh, I can see food on them.
I was handling grubs before.
All right, let's talk about East of West. Justin?
East of West, Jonathan Hickman comic, put out by Image. First issue came out. I went to Midtown Comics to pick it up. For some reason, they were only allowing you to buy one of them, which I don't know if anyone has
really?
An insight. Yeah, it said one per customer. Which I thought was weird. I don't know if it's
good marketing ploy. Want? That's a marketing ploy. Yeah. That's like, oh, now we're talking about it. Now you can only buy one. We got to get them. You got to. It's like Robitussin. You can't buy more.
Excuse me.
What?
Oh. Oh, Craig is a real robo tripper.
Oh yeah, yeah. I'm a meth addict.
But anyway, so I thought that was strange.
Can you only buy one Robitussin?
You can. Yeah, you have to show your ID.
Yeah. Really? Same thing,
dude.
With Advil.
I can't believe you know that. That's weird.
No, Advil too.
Huh?
Advil.
Oh, cool.
You can only buy one of them.
Oh, great. You
one
guys
pill?
Are some sort of drug.
You want to hop my one-wheeler after the show? And,
go ahead now. Make some
we could make some of that blue.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
So anyway, this comic, make your plans after the show, guys.
No, thanks.
This comic is great. Nick DeGroda, his art is amazing. I really love his work. Jonathan Hickman, he has so many original ideas that it's always going to be
Can
at least an
tell
interesting
me
read.
What is going on?
Coming up, I don't know. You read it also.
Yeah, but I still don't know what's happening.
In this, it's set in sort of the Old West and moved forward into a future where U.S. history went down a little
it's
bit
the Old West in the future. Makes sense so far.
Well, it starts in the Old West, and then it moves to the future. The four horsemen of the apocalypse come back, or three of them do, and one of them is missing. There's
evil little kids is what it is.
Evil little kids. You don't know everything that's going on. You don't quite know what the relationship between the characters are, what is happening, but sets that's the stage true. With a lot of really cool stuff, a lot of
cool
a lot of Native American histories
cool.
here
oh,
moving through. Shut up. Did you like this or not?
I'm of two minds about this.
Oh, great. I think, here we go. Another middle-of-the-road review from Alex Salvin.
I thought it was good, but also bad.
Okay, great.
I liked it, but I didn't
okay.
like it.
I thought it was good, but also bad. I hated it. Let's just move on to something. This is a good comic. It's worth picking up.
Here's my problem with this book.
Yeah, yeah.
There are too many ideas.
Yep.
Disagree.
I feel
agree.
You
even trying to describe it, you couldn't describe it.
It's okay. Here's what I like. I love the idea that he sets up in here that there's an alternate history where I think it's the Civil War dragged on a little too long. Other people got involved, and so that affected the way history played out.
Well, no, there's an asteroid strike right when all of the sort of taking advantage of the American Indians happened, and that that. Fucked it
up. Right, so that changes things. I think that's
no,
great.
I think there was like the bar idea. That was the end of the universe where people drink and murder each other.
I mean, that
and
does
then
happen.
That they once you drink at this bar, you turn into evil babies.
Wait, is that real? I thought you were kidding.
No, that's not what happened.
That's the
okay,
bar
so
I'm pretty sure that's what happened.
Alternate history, love the idea of alternate history. Mm-hmm. I love the idea of Four Horsemen of the Apocalypse, but a Western. I think that's cool.
Yeah.
I love the idea of his future society. Where the Four Horsemen of the Apocalypse show up there. That's also cool. But it all feels like separate ideas that he mashed together. And it may pay off in the long run. But right now, it's a jumble of a first issue. There's a lot of stuff here. Too much stuff for it to actually hang on to anything.
See, I feel like you see four scenes from the beginning of a movie. And then as it goes on, they all tie together. In a similar way that, like, Pulp Fiction was.
Yeah,
you
it felt
saw,
like four rooms where you really got a fucked up view of shit.
Yeah.
No way to put it all together.
Pete, this isn't your movie review podcast.
Oh, okay.
I feel like Jonathan and Nick are going to pull this one out.
Yeah, that's his spirit.
That's
like you refer to great. Everyone as, like, their team, like a buddy comedy.
Jonathan Hickman and Nick Dragotti. Dragota.
Dragota.
Mm-hmm. I trust them.
Are they your favorite?
I'd say they're two of my favorites.
Yeah.
They're my top two favorites ever.
Yeah. I saw your list of favorites, and they were definitely...
Yeah, they're up there. I read the first couple pages beforehand.
Congratulations.
Thank you very much for congratulating. But it looks awesome. The drawings are amazing.
The art is amazing.
Yeah, it's
ridiculous.
Pretty unreal.
All of the story elements, I think, are good. I'm just not sure they mesh together.
Well, I feel like Image, especially right now, is just killing it. All the books are so unique. And this is just another one that I think is great.
Cool. Speaking of a unique book from Image, let's talk about my pick, Fatal, number 13.
Yeah.
Hello.
Yeah.
There we go.
There we go.
That's it.
Yeah.
Woo! This is a great book. Can't take it back? Okay. Ed Brakker, Sean Phillips. They've been writing criminal, which very straightforward noir books. This is kind of a noir meets Lovecraft mythology a little bit. Focuses on a woman throughout history, or possibly multiple women.
It's different women, yeah.
Yeah, who have engaged with this book, Live Forever. Men always fall in love with them. It's a play on the femme fatale idea. This issue in particular focuses on an old West woman, contrasting with East of West there. And I think what I liked about this is it's much more focused. It's one story in the issue. Gives a twist on a Western.
Well, it is number 13 in the series.
Yeah, there you go. But it still stands on its own.
Yep.
You know, it is a standalone issue.
Yeah.
So you're correct in that.
There you go.
It's a great jumping on point.
Yes.
Oh, wow. You guys have the real buzzwords now.
Thank you.
It's great stuff.
Yeah, it's pushing all the verticals right now.
Yeah, it's pushing. It hits the right buttons. It's hitting in all four quadrants.
I don't know how much I necessarily have to say about this issue so much as the series as a whole, which I think has been very much a slow burn for me. Mm-hmm. I wasn't totally into it the same way I was with Criminal, but I've picked up every single issue, and it just gets better and better, and the mythology is very intriguing with what's going on. Sean Phillips' art is always great, and I love issues like that reveal more about the ongoing story while feeling self-contained.
Yeah, I agree. The last arc I thought was great, set in Hollywood. It was awesome. Yeah. And this continues on the whole same thing, even though it is a standalone.
It's almost like American Vampire, but with Lovecraft stuff.
Interesting. Mm. Pete?
Interesting. I thought this was really good. Very interesting story, very unique way it's being told. I really love the art. The girl was good because it was like, I don't want to say not a typical girl, but I just feel that like it was.
She is
sort
of
it was just really well written and kind of very cool. No, I'm just saying that like it was cool the way that like she was sucked at shooting and like. There was real challenges for her. It wasn't like, look at this girl. She's so used to this life. And so
she hangs out at the firing range and tries to meet a woman. Yeah.
It's the best place to make out.
Yeah.
To make out?
Dangerous. Oh, whoa. My friend.
So anyways, I liked a lot of the choices they made with this character, and I thought it was really cool. And fuck you both.
There we go.
I have to say there is one sentence that I liked in this one, and it's
one sentence.
Well, it's
is it about the creator's first name?
It has an ellipsis at the end, so it's not a full sentence, but it's
good.
Milk fed, which is the name of the characters. You are truly a horse's cock. So that right there,
sold.
That's all. Yeah, I'm buying it.
Yeah. Great.
And that's it for the stats. Guys, we're going to move to our next section, which is my favorite section because you guys make it up. It's your audience questions. And for that, we're going to go over to Boothman.
Boothman.
His initials in the middle of his name.
What is that? I don't like that at all.
Boothman.
Like a horse rider?
Yeah. Nope, you're a natural jockey.
Yeah, I'm very small. People wouldn't know that from the audio podcast, but it's true.
Yep.
So I got... All the questions are neat, and I got five of them.
Oh boy.
So only one of them is going to be lightning round.
Let's hit
it. So what should I do?
Just go.
Just ask some questions.
Yeah.
Thanks all the help. Thanks for the advice. All right, first question. Do what I am paid to do.
Right.
Which comic book... Shut the fuck up. Which comic book characters would you like to see in a band? What genre would they be, and what instruments would they play?
Interesting.
Huh.
Easy.
Easy.
Oh, easy,
idiots.
Flash in a speed metal band.
Oh, nice.
Next question.
I guess that's
really
the speed
taking
rock
over
right
the
there, yeah.
really taking over the show.
I'm hijacking this.
To me, I always put like Wolverine and Animal kind of the same person, so I'd like to see Wolverine on the drums.
Wolverine on the drums.
Yeah.
Against Animal? Just a drum band? Yeah.
You mean like a drum band, circle? Like in Drumline.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I want to see a Wolverine starring in the movie Drumline.
With Orlando Jones, Nick Cannon, and Wolverine.
Exactly. Where the drumsticks come out of his hand, and he's just rat-a-tat.
Not Hugh Jackman, but actual Wolverine.
Yeah, no, not Hugh Jackman. Never. Pete hates. He actually dislikes Hugh Jackman. I don't know. weird line to draw. I think that I would like to see Green Lantern run like an orchestra where all the instruments are powered by his will.
Oh, wow.
Really test him.
That would That's be awful good. Music, I have a feeling.
Why? Well, you're not big into orchestration, right?
How dare you?
Oh, do you remember there was a time where Pete, like, went inside himself and started talking about Bach?
Yeah.
That was crazy.
I never want to see you inside yourself again.
It was weird.
Yeah, it was weird. Wait, what about you?
Oh, you don't have
an
answer.
Music.
I don't like music.
Come on, what song from the Step Up soundtrack would you want a superhero to play,
I'm just
Alex?
Sick and tired of all the dancing in this town.
Yeah. The villain from Footloose.
Great. Right, let's get
Dr.
the next
Zelda.
Question, please. Which character should get a book in Marvel Now Wave 2, and which creators would you like to see get books?
Ooh, nice.
So, as a little bit of background for Krage over here.
Krage, yes, listen please. Up, Krage.
Marvel had an initiative called Marvel Now that was not reboots of all their books, but new takes, new writers, new artists, trying to give them a fresh coat of paint, as you were. They're having a new wave of Marvel Now books that are coming out. So the question is, what that they haven't already covered would you like to see come out?
And who would you want to be working on?
I would like to change the question a little bit.
No, no.
That's
nope.
not how
Pee
it
LePage.
Works, technically.
I would like to ask my own question and then answer it.
I would like to be called Marvel Then and then bring back Spider-Man.
I had a feeling you were going to say that.
It's fucking bullshit.
What an electric...
When is Superior Spider-Man going to be over?
What an electric campaign. Marvel Then. That's called rereading your back issues. They'll sell them back.
Yeah,
to you.
When is Executioner's song going to come back?
Yeah, nice. Oh, nice. I don't know. I love that.
Yeah,
it's easy. It'll come back in my bedroom.
That's what
tonight
they should have. There should be a Strife series by Rob Liefeld.
Just what everyone wants, written and drawn and edited by, because he's a great editor. Read his Twitter feed, you can see what a great editor he is.
Yeah, he's constantly tweeting about stapling too, so he could probably take care of that.
Yeah, no, staples by the rest of the Image crew.
Yeah, you know who does staples? I think Val Staples.
Yeah, he's great. Fiona Staples as well.
Oh, really nice. Good. Fiona
really
Staples.
Good stuff. Yeah, she got into drawing comic books as a second career
right.
after the staple market dried
well,
up.
Because she was putting in the staples, and she was like, the stuff they're putting around the staples
it
sucks. Just not good.
Well, plus, you can bank thousands of staples, and then you don't have to go back.
Right.
You know, you want to get ahead of the books by... Because a lot of reason that books are delayed is because they just don't have the staples.
Well, what is happening?
That's true.
That's why Uncanny Avengers was delayed.
Right, John Cassidy just can't get around to stapling the books.
He just doesn't have the staples.
Yeah.
It's a precious metal.
Like, I can't make it to Staples to get my staples.
Please stop saying that word.
Staples?
I
Which
don't
word?
Know what staples? It means staples? Anymore.
Huh? Staples.
Staples?
What were we talking about? Strife book.
We were pitching a Strife comic. Do you have any... What is there a Marvel character that you knew or loved in your youth?
I don't know any. I don't know what you're talking about.
Okay.
I like Spider-Man, but it seems like that there's some beef with him.
Wait, don't just take beforehand. Pete's opinion and make it your own.
No,
you're back in the wrong horse, Chris.
So you've seen Spider-Man too, right?
I've unfortunately have, yeah.
What?
I grew up loving Spider-Man. I wasn't into any of the movies, especially three. But I didn't see the new one, so I can't comment on that.
So Dr. Octopus killed Spider-Man and put his brain in Spider-Man's body, and so the new Spider-Man is Dr. Octopus.
I'm interested.
Also Peter Parker is a ghost.
Yes, yeah. Peter Parker
Here's
is a ghost.
Here's Casper.
Here I have two answers. I want to see a Dr. Octopus Marvel Now 2 book with Peter Parker in his body. And he's going to, like, pick up a bunch of different stuff.
But with no brain.
Have sex with old women. Yeah, no brain. Or perhaps New Warriors. Let's bring back some of the New Warriors for a new book. And not the last shitty incarnation.
Who would you want on New Warriors?
All the greats. Speedball.
I remember Speedball.
Yeah,
Speedball.
He was he was a wisecracker.
He was cool. Yeah, like in 1994, cool. Well, he was just like a really cool guy.
Writing them though, writing them doing art.
Writing the News Warriors or the New Warriors. That's a tough Newsies Warriors. Did I just say that?
Yeah, Justin we could Tyler. Have like Newsies Warriors. We could have that guy who's on Smash who used to be in Newsies could write it.
Definitely,
Jeremy Jordan. We all know what I'm talking
wow,
about.
Wow, Alex Albin.
No one knows your wow. definition of pop culture.
Jonathan Franzen.
Yeah,
yeah. Jonathan Franzen is a
Speedball story. Yeah. No, I'm saying he should draw this. Right,
he should draw it.
He should draw this Speedball story.
Franzen can draw it,
and then Picasso should come back to life and write it.
You get it. Change it up. Experimental.
What was that book that came out a couple of years ago? Was it Jonathan Franzen wrote it, or was it Michael Chabon?
No,
it was Chabon, right?
Which one?
Well, you're thinking. Well, he wrote
something.
The
not
key.
Unis the Untouchable.
No. You're thinking of that. Oh, shit. It just left my brain.
Right?
It was the old Marvel Heroes, like a 14, 13-issue series. It wasn't him. It was Jonathan Latham.
Jonathan Latham.
Not Franz.
I'd like to see him do more stuff.
Yeah, that was a good series. That was a it was pretty series, weird, yeah. but it was good.
Yeah. I'd like to see some sort of weirder take on New Warriors. I think that would be interesting.
Yeah, I think because put Matt Fraction on it, do something. Because he's... The Fantastic Four issue, not the main book, but the FF book, I think is great, and that's the kind of more quirkier story I think he excels at.
Yeah. Is there anybody off the beaten path, not the typical Marvel creators, that you'd like to see pick up a Marvel book?
Off the beaten path?
Well, somebody who's not currently writing for
Marvel.
Names we
don't know
about?
Because
a lot of Marvel now is like, what if Jonathan Hickman wasn't writing Fantastic Four, but instead writing The Avengers? And what if Brian Bendis was writing X-Men?
Yeah.
And it's worked out actually very well.
I would like to see Peter Milligan did such an amazing job on Constantine. I'd love to see what he would do with Punisher.
Oh, that's pretty intense. Yeah. That's cool, Pete.
I like it. Sold.
Good answer.
Raise your hand if you ask that. You're going to get some free comics. Let's get the next question.
A lot of comics take place in New York City. Is there another setting that would do great? And do you guys have a town that you would like to see in comics?
Sure.
Definitely.
South Beach.
Cool. Well, you're on the South
Miami
Beach.
Miami Beach.
Yes.
I did enjoy Blue Beetle in Texas. That was cool.
Yeah.
So more Texas.
That's a good town.
Yeah. El Paso,
yeah, I'd like
Texas.
To see like a Friday Night Lights, but comic version with superheroes.
Yeah. Let's get Spider-Man up in Fargo. So he's like, what the fuck am I doing?
Trying to swing on some snow.
Yeah, I can just, that's a bummer.
Should do Boca Raton, just retired.
Yeah.
Retired
that's where superheroes go, go to
a bunch
die.
Of oldies.
Yeah, just be sort of depressing.
Colonial Williamsburg.
There was actually a retired superhero story called Welcome to Tranquility.
Yeah.
There you go.
It was good.
I'm interested. I bought it.
I'm interested.
Great.
I just opened my phone and bought it.
For Marvel, most of the stories are in New York, right?
Yeah. Well, like pretty much they've been branching out a bit. Venom takes place in Philadelphia. Scarlet Spider is in
Atlanta.
Not Austin.
No.
Dallas?
Houston.
Houston, Texas.
Houston. There's been a couple of titles that are set in Los Angeles now. Mm-hmm. So they have been moving stuff around a little bit.
Yeah, they're really learning about the rest of America.
Yep.
At the Marvel office.
Where's
the only
Iowa
country
book?
In the world?
Yeah, exactly.
I want some Heartland comics.
Definitely. Like, people are just dying for more stories from
you know,
Heartland.
Just like... Well, no, but I mean, Superman, whenever he goes back to, like, Smallville, it's always... I always prefer that to, like, the big
really?
City
Oh, really, Boothman? Where the fuck is Smallville?
It's in a...
Where is Smallville, Boothman? Where the fuck is Smallville?
It's in
Kansas.
This is getting
really...
Yeah,
it's in Kansas.
That's weird. Can I ask to the previous question just this
No!
Yeah. Alpha Flight. I'd like to see an Alpha Flight book.
Yeah.
Yeah, Grant Morrison on Alpha Flight.
Okay. Oh, totally. Like, let's get more into the Canadian heroes, the heroes of the heartland. Like, definitely the real... Because you know what? If I'm a supervillain, where the fuck do I want to rob... A corn place.
A corn
Wait, a what?
A corn place?
Do you mean field?
No, where they hold
Could
the corn
imagine,
in a
where
silo.
They hold
Could
it like a jail.
Like, the wrecking crew, they pull out their weapons and like, take me to the corn place.
Yeah.
That would be intense. Yeah,
exactly. I'm just saying.
Hey, Justin, maybe you should
Why
go
Why do you
there
hate corn so much?
Yeah, what about
It's bad for you?
An Avengers crossover called The Great Corn Robbery.
Yeah.
This would be great.
Crossover, you say?
Yeah.
Who's that crossover with?
With The
parts.
Great Train Robbery.
Yeah, it would crossover with The Great Train
crossover
Robbery.
Crossover with an old, a very
One
old movie.
One of the oldest movies.
Yeah.
There you go.
It's based on a book, though.
Yeah.
Is it?
Oh, books aren't real.
Marvel then.
A comic book.
No, it's based on a real book. I think somebody wrote it that I can't remember.
It's a real book.
No,
may have not been written.
It appeared fully written. Yeah.
It's one of those books that wasn't written. Raise your hand if you ask that. You're going to get some free comics. Yeah. Let's get the next question.
If you could swap the origins of any two heroes, who would it be?
Swap the origins?
Yes.
Swap.
Interesting.
Oh, swap the origin.
I'd love to see Mr. Fantastic with Wolverine's origin.
Whoa. Oh, yeah.
Why?
Yeah,
real, that guy's mind.
Real dark, gritty Mr. Fantastic.
Yeah. That he gets implanted with rubber skin.
Yep.
And he's really upset about it.
Yeah, they put a bunch of rubber inside of him.
Yeah, no. That's true.
I want
God damn it, my past was erased. It was mostly rubber skin stuff, but my past was fucking erased.
What about Dazzler and Batman?
Whoa. Yeah, Dazzler. Batman's like just a singer in a band.
Yeah, and Dazzler's like, my parents are dead. I have to go be weird.
Yeah, so light comes through her window and she decides to have light powers.
Yeah, exactly. That makes sense. And then it
that
changes.
It does make sense.
It would change her music. It would be more sort of Alanis Morissette-y, right. Sort of Jack. Kind of
like Tori Amos-y.
Yeah, real cool. It's great. Courtney Love.
Fiona Apple.
Any thoughts, definitely. Or would you switch, Craig?
No.
I think Batman should come from another planet and just be like, well, I'm here. I don't have much
so
to
Batman
show for
Superman
it.
So Batman switch?
Yeah. Oh. Batman is sent off.
Oh, Batman and Superman, not like Batman and Green Lantern. There's a whole Batman Corp.
Yeah. Oh, that's what Batman Incorporated is.
Yeah.
Almost word for word.
That's true.
Exactly.
Yeah. You have the power to enact great vengeance.
Or maybe like the Vulture comes from the planet from another planet, lands, and an old couple picks up an old man and is like, "You're gonna live with us now, old
be
man.
Old with us.
We're gonna raise you to be a villain."
Right. And Superman decides to put on a flight suit and rob people.
Yeah. But like in a fancy way for like jewels and stuff.
Right. Real fancy.
Because wasn't the Vulture always after like a diamond most of the time?
One
sure.
Huh?
You mean not money, but like a diamond.
He was always after like, let's get the pearls from the old.
Well, you know, vultures love diamonds in real life.
Yeah,
so no,
that's
perfect
true.
That's all they
connection.
Yeah, they sit beside the road and on cactuses and they're just waiting for diamonds.
They're just scavenging for diamonds.
Right.
Yeah. For dead people, when they eat dead people, they're just trying to get the diamonds.
Well, yeah, you know, I have a lot of friends whose engagements were ruined because the Vulture just swoops in and eats the ring right out of his hand.
You gotta watch when you take a knee.
A lot of
it's
couples
break up.
It's
a bad idea to take a knee.
Yeah.
It's a bad
never
idea.
Take a knee.
Never take a
never
knee. You gotta be ready for a Vulture.
That's right. Never take a knee. Open a kissing booth. We gotta cover people.
I would like to, in honor of the bad guy, I would like to see Stiltman and Doom switch. That way Stiltman gets to be a good villain.
Would there be like Stiltman robots?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Around.
Instead of Doombots, Stiltbots.
Stiltbots?
Stiltbots.
I just would like Stiltman to be like a villain people.
And what does Dr. Doom just stand there?
Just walking around.
I just want to
check out
Stiltman.
My feet. That's his catchphrase.
Yeah.
You want him to run a country, Stiltman?
I would just like Stiltman to have a little cred.
Would his country be called Stiltmandia?
Yeah.
Still for somebody who doesn't know Stiltman, is that just a guy on stilts?
But I mean, the stilts are pretty cool.
Okay.
And he was recently upgraded in Spider-Man, I believe, to have arm stilts.
So he has basically crutches on his hands.
Yeah, exactly.
That sounds pretty cool.
He's like a creative camp counselor at a summer camp, basically.
It's like, cool. Well, we got these stilts. Let's have some fun.
Raise your hand if you ask that. You're going to get some free comics. Let's get the last question.
All right. Is this no more prizes, right?
No more prizes.
All right, no,
oh, we have a prize.
We were nice enough. This one's donated to the next one.
Okay.
What?
Cool.
What?
He was nice enough to
whoever the
his
mystery
blood.
Guest.
I just want to mention, Pete was saying the rest of you were not nice enough to do.
Yeah.
But this guy over
you
here.
You could have given the comics back, you asshole audience members.
All right, no.
God,
they're for you to
guys.
Keep. This person
right.
is just swimming.
Right, so comics. I think this question is specifically for Alex. It might be for Craze, too. I don't know your interest.
Oh, all right.
Thank you.
You're welcome, I think. Doctor Who is
sure.
celebrating 50 years this year. Which new-ish characters, so it could be a character or several.
New-ish characters.
Will we honor 50 years from now? Because clearly the show will still exist 50 years from now.
Yeah, sure, yeah. For 100
why
years.
Not?
Why not? Are you a Doctor Who fan, Greg?
I'm going to be the asshole, but I've never seen Doctor Who.
No, that doesn't make you an asshole.
No, it doesn't.
That makes you a normal.
All yes. right, then I'll be a normal. I'm going to go back to Craig and be the normal guy. Yeah. And be. No, I've never seen it.
Yeah, neither of you have ever seen it either.
Nope. I watched it when I was a kid. I grew up in upstate New York, and we would get Canadian television, and Doctor Who would be on, and it would scare the shit out of us.
Like, scare the ish out of you.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I think if it is on, characters that would probably be around, Weeping Angels, The Silence, maybe. That's pretty much it.
Oh, yeah, those, my, those would be my answers, too.
Yeah.
I should say that one robot guy.
The Daleks?
No, just that one robot. I know what I'm talking about. Yeah. I don't know what I'm talking about.
I'd say the phone booth.
Yeah.
I don't know.
that's a
Jewish character.
Yeah.
Cool.
Weeping Angel.
Guy. All right, raise your hand if you ask that. You're going to get some free comics. Yeah. And that's it for your audience questions. Guys. We are going to move on with our next section, which we like to call the Week in Geek.
Yeah!
And in the Week in Geek, we're going
to
talk
it's
about...
It's nice to have the music back.
Hey, yeah. Okay.
No, we're just saying you have shitty music.
You know what? Alex, that's totally okay coming from you.
Slam. True. True right. Slam.
First true guys, slam.
I mean, let's be honest. You guys both have bad taste in music.
Thanks, Justin. Guys, first thing we're going to talk about of the Week in Geek... This week was the season finale of Walking Dead. Broke records all over the place. Biggest episode of the show. One of the biggest shows on TV at this point.
12.4 million people watched it.
Right, and that's just the 9 o'clock showing, which is crazy. So more after that. What'd you guys think? I assume you watched it. Have you been watching Walking Dead?
I'm a little behind.
Get ready for some spoilers.
Oh, I am ready for spoilers. Me love me some spoilers.
Well, what have you thought about the season so far?
I mean, I think the show's been getting better and better. I like sort of was into it, but not that into it the first season and the second season. I don't know, but it's just progressed, I think, in a cool way. I like where it's going. Yeah. So I'm excited to see where it got to.
I agree. What'd you guys think about the finale?
I was very happy with it. I felt like for the first time when, you know, Carl was talking with his dad there, Carl was right, man. Like, Carl's been...
To give you a little bit of background, in this episode, we're building up to this confrontation between Woodbury, which is an idyllic community led by a guy named the Governor, who's insane.
Hate the Governor.
Yeah, he's sort of a jerk.
He's kind of a jerk.
And a conflict between Rick, who's the leader of the people who live in this prison. Zombies, of course, hopefully you know that already, are stuck in the middle, don't know which side to choose.
Poor zombies.
Who do they love the most?
I know, they're walking back.
It's like a total Twilight thing.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, I don't know what you're talking about.
So, in this episode, Rick and the Governor's conflict starts to boil over. attacks the prison, gets forced away by Rick. Carl, his son, is hanging out in the woods, and this guy comes up to him, this kid, and says...
You say hanging out in the woods. You mean jerking off in the woods?
Yeah there's a crazy amount of jerking off in this show.
I missed the last couple.
Protecting the baby.
The season takes a real masturbatory turn after the episode you're on.
Yeah, whatever episode you're on, it's after that one.
Wow.
There you go. So Carl, this kid approaches him who works for the governor, says, I don't mean any harm. Here's my gun. Carl shoots him.
Right.
And then later on, there's a conversation where Rick goes to talk to him and says, you can't do stuff like that.
Well, Herschel's like, your son killed another kid.
A boundless CGI leg.
And it was like, he's a real tattletale.
Yeah, there you go.
I mean, he did murder someone.
Carl goes up, Carl talks to Rick. Rick wants to chew him out about this.
Chew him out? Like an intern. I'm going to fire you, kid.
Take a vacation.
Take a vacation.
Ed Carl says, you're wrong. Every step of the way, when you've hesitated, horrible things have
happened
to us.
People have died,
So I haven't hesitated.
This is fucking life or death. There's zombies. You don't know what's going to happen. You got the shot. You take it.
Let me ask you, Pete, an unrelated question. What would it take for you to think that society's falling apart enough for you to start killing people?
You think
the subway
is
running 10
happening?
Minutes late?
Yeah, 10 minutes late? Yeah
exactly. You're just going to be like, it's time.
It's go time.
Murder, 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 murder.
That you should say murder while you're murdering people.
I do.
It's good to let other people know what's happening if they're
legally,
visually impaired.
If you say murder, it's not a crime.
No, it's totally condemned.
Everyone's on board.
Yeah, you inform them. Right. Carry on.
Pete, if you're in this television show and you're like, do I follow Rick or do I follow a very small child, what would you do?
I'm going to follow that. Me and Carl are going to start our own village.
You would follow. How old
a
is
village,
he?
Huh?
A village?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Not to talk about things you were talking about all show, but like, bring a woman with you.
Hey, it takes a village, right?
It takes a village to raise a psychopath.
Did
Yeah.
Could we talk about the big thing that happened in the episode, or the little thing, rather? Death of Andrea. Andrea dies. She's tied to a chair, fights off a zombie Milton, and gets bit and shoots herself in the head.
Yeah. Right.
So what do you think? Are you sad to see Andrea go?
When she first got the gun, I would thought that she was going to go after the governor. Like, she was going to try one last before she changed to try to get the governor.
Yeah.
And then when I was like, oh, she's going to shoot herself, that's kind of fucking dumb.
But yeah.
It's like, it's what she wanted. Like, when they broke onto that, like, science lab and the guy was going to explode everything, and she wanted to die there.
Yeah.
So she got to finally die.
I thought it
was... She got what she wanted. Yeah. Death.
She wanted to take her own life, she got it finally.
That's good. What a positive outlook you have on the world. I thought that I think she's been sort of, as a character, used up on this this season. Like, she was right in the middle. It was her sort of her season, and a lot of episodes that sort of dragged on were her like deciding between the two sides, and it was just like a little much. And so I thought like this was the natural. I think we talked about on the show a couple weeks ago that I felt that she was going to die at the end of the season. So
right.
I think it made sense, and I loved the way the governor did that. Was such a great like set piece for the show. Like, yeah. He stabbed Milton, and then Milton slowly died and turned into a zombie while Andrea...
Oh, man, how intense was that when she was trying to get the pliers up?
Well, the way that played out was so stupid, though, because she kept pausing for long periods of time.
Oh, it was driving me nuts. I was screaming at the screen.
He was slowly dying, and every once in a while, Milton would wake up and be like,
nope.
You really should take off those handcuffs. And she'd be like, oh, okay, all right, I'll work on these handcuffs.
Yeah, so I was just thinking about, like, birds and other animals.
It's funny. I felt like I saw a lot of comic book fans on Twitter super pissed off at the episode. Because Andrea died. In the comic books, she's great. She's a fantastic character.
But she's
on the
a different
show,
character.
Yeah, on the show, they have had no idea what to do with Laurie
Holden.
We
have a question now. In the comic book, do they do big things that are different than in the comic book?
Like, yeah. Huge.
So
it's
she,
a totally
like, characters,
different.
Like, live on in the comic that die? In
yep.
The,
yeah. Yeah.
That's interesting.
In the comic right now, Andrea is sort of dating Rick.
Ooh,
dating is sort of a weird word to use.
Spoiler alert,
and
they're in love.
She's a much different, she's a much more like sort of a harder
she's
character.
Cooler
and yeah, she's much cooler. And I think that I love that about the show. I love that they just deviate from the comic and don't any. It just makes it better, I think. And it also makes the comic better.
Yeah, you can
makes
enjoy
the comic better
because
I'm like, oh, good. The story I like and have liked for all these issues continues, and the show continues, and both are good. Yeah. Both are good worlds, and they're both good.
What about, and this is another big spoiler, but what about leaving the governor alive? What do you think about that?
I think it's great because we got to get the famous storyline where the governor drives a tank up to the prison and then away from the prison, then up to the prison, and away from the prison.
That was my favorite.
And up to the prison. I know. That's your thing.
I love that.
Oh, I think it's fine. I actually...
It's not fine. I would have loved to kill the governor.
You personally.
You personally.
Yeah.
Murder.
No, I don't know if that's going to happen.
I meant in the show.
And just hypothetically, if you happen to run into the actor that plays the governor, he's just an actor.
Okay, good. Thank you for that.
Because don't murder him if you try to see him.
Yeah, because if he accidentally is wearing an eye patch one day, he's dead.
Accidentally.
Man.
I think he'd know if he'd be either purposely put one on or not.
You don't think he'd be walking along. A bird carrying an eye patch flies over him. A vulture.
A vulture.
Drops an eye patch.
A diamond encrusted eye patch.
Goes, caca! And drops an eye patch right at him.
That's how vultures talk.
Pete slits his throat.
Yep. But it's much more interesting. The governor stays alive. We'll see what happens to him. He'll be back.
Why?
To be continued.
No, he should die horribly.
Well, you know what, Pete? It's a different world out there. All right?
All right.
It's the TV show, A Different World Out There.
Yeah, exactly. Dwayne Wayne.
Next thing we're going to talk about, G.I. Joe 2 finally came out this weekend, and we've got an exclusive review from Pete LePage.
I saw this one, too.
You did?
Great.
Dueling reviews.
Justin and I will step back and not care.
I could give a one-word review, but I'll wait until
you. No, please. What did you think?
Worthless.
Worthless.
Are you fucking serious?
Yes!
Oh, my God. Yeah.
Yes.
Pete, you look like he just said that about Casablanca or something like that.
Yeah. Or your family.
What did you think you were going to go fucking see?
A movie. I don't know. It was
a movie.
Just,
what? It was just an action movie. It was.
The action wasn't that good. They just like.
What the fuck are you talking about? You had ninjas on the side of a mountain doing crazy shit. That was unbelievable.
Just as a little bit of context, this movie was directed by John M. Chu, who has shepherded the Step Up movies, which Pete loved.
Yeah.
That context has not changed my review at all. The one cool part about it, which was sort of over overlooked or just was that the president of the United States. I like the plot. Like, the plot could be cool. The president of the United States is identity is stolen by what's his
Zartan.
Name? Zartan. And he, I'm
you
sorry.
You even fucking like G.I. Joe. No, what the fuck you saying this movie for?
I got a free pass to it, so I.
Oh. Paid double.
Uh-oh.
He paid double.
You paid for you and the popcorn. I got
wait,
in
did
for
you
free.
Buy his ticket?
I got in for free and snuck food in. So, but that he released a nuclear weapon and then made everybody else, every other country release
use
their weapons.
Yeah.
That was cool. That was the coolest part of the movie. And then that scene was pretty sweet.
Yeah, that was amazing.
Yeah, I like
I'm
that.
I'm surprised you could take a moment and enjoy that.
I have a brain.
For all your hatred for them goddamn movie.
Pete, could you have a one word
which
review?
Was based on action fucking figures, for Christ's sakes.
Action
fucking
figures.
What kind of movie is this?
So
mad. You talking
you're
about?
So angry at Craig.
Just because it's based on toys doesn't mean I have to like it.
Oh. Yeah. No, I'm just saying don't.
Just because it's based on toys doesn't mean it's written by like a 9-year-old.
No, but it just. Together. It just. It's a great. Just. Action movie. It's just.
It's a great
action
movie.
It's just good guys, bad guys, just
can
fucking G.I. Joe.
Turn to somebody, another movie, our next little.
Wait, hang on. I just want to. I just want to
say.
He hasn't
got his review on
I just. It was. I thought it was a fun action movie. I thought it was great, just kind of popcorn movie. Ton of like amazing stunts. There was one part I don't want to spoil that the entire audience was like, "Oh shit!"
Feel free
was
to spoil.
Was it the mountain ninja stuff?
No.
Was it when Channing Tatum died?
No.
Was it when The Rock did that thing with the fence where it melted away with his hands?
No, but that was also cool.
That was cool, yeah.
There was a lot of cool stuff.
Was it when Bruce Willis was like, I'm getting too old for this shit?
Yeah.
No,
that's not old enough that I'm hardly in this movie. What was the oh shit moment?
It was when I cut the bullet in half. That was fucking awesome.
Spoiler alert.
Don't
bullet gets cut in half.
Don't remember.
Plus, it was great.
Craig doesn't even remember.
I don't remember anybody in the audience
just,
ever
also,
said
I thought the 3D stuff was great. You know, there was a lot of stuff coming right at you. It was really just
yeah.
Well
I mean,
done.
That is the whole thing.
And The Rock was good, too.
Yeah, thank you. The Rock
his great. Name is Dwayne.
Dwayne Johnson.
Yeah, it's Dwayne Wayne, I believe.
We're going to move on to another news item. It's kind of related. So Michael Bay is doing a TMNT movie, as we all know.
Oh, careful. I think he's at. I think Pete's writer
is
over.
He is not doing
you
a
guys,
movie.
You guys ever play Excite Bike when your motorbike overheats and you have to pull over? That's
I'm
right,
in the red.
That's right where Pete is right now.
I'm in the red, damn it.
TMNT movie. He, of course, has a lot of experience directing action figure type movies, so you should love
he's gonna be great.
His take on this, Pete. Will Arnett is going to be in the movie in some sort of mysterious role. They've already cast all of the Turtles and April O'Neil, so he's not any of that.
Oh, maybe he's playing Vanilla Ice.
He might be Vanilla Ice. What do you think he's playing in the movie? Any ideas?
Wait, what's the name of the guy with the...
Casey Jones.
But, I mean, that would be... I guess that would be sort of weird.
He could be Rocksteady or Bebop.
Oh, that would be amazing.
I think Will Arnett, I don't know if you guys have seen the Transformers movies... But I'm sure he's probably playing like some sort of uptight businessman in a supposed to be hilarious sequence.
He's the John
Turturro.
That
goes on for like, an hour.
Yeah, like the one
maybe
actor where you're like, oh, with
Transformers.
Turtles.
Yeah, he keeps saying, we got to get those turtles.
Where the sewers.
The parents in the theater are like, I know that actor.
That's your best impression, by the way.
Is it?
Yeah.
Oh, thanks. I shouldn't push it.
Yeah, don't. Don't keep doing it. It's getting weirder.
Cool. Are you, Pete, you looking forward to TMNT?
No, I'm not going to see it.
You refuse to see it, but you love them.
I do love them.
Here, I'll tell
but
you
it's
what.
It's a toy movie. Good guys, bad guys.
I shouldn't do this. I bet you $5 you see that movie.
Oh, let's do it.
I'll do this.
Yeah.
Here's the thing, Pete. You're going to want to see it.
Nope. I just found $5.
Pete, your bar of if a movie's successful is so low. It's right on the ground.
Yeah, I just
as long as the lights turn on. It's a success in here.
That's not true.
Yes.
No.
As long as the
I'm just curious how strong Pete's I love everything Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles impulse is versus his I badly need $5.
I do. I badly need $5.
Yeah. All right. We'll see what happens in a couple of years.
Okay.
Time.
And real quick, can we turn it over to Pete's Arrow Corner for a quick review of the most recent episode of Arrow?
Oh, man. So we got a lot more flashbacks. Then we got to find out more about the...
Great, that's all the time we have for Pete's Arrow.
Right.
That's it for Wiki Geek. All right, guys, we're going to turn to our next section, which is audience questions. For that, we're going to go over to...
No, we already did audience questions.
Am I back? Can I do more things?
No, we have to do it again.
You're done.
All right, we'll do the stack then, I guess.
Nope,
we've already done that.
What are we...
Are you drunk? Craig?
No, Craig's already here.
Oh, it's pronounced Craig.
Should I introduce you guys?
No.
All right, yeah. I'm just going to get
What's
bored
happening?
Real quick.
Huh? Yeah, cool. Let's just start the show over because this is clearly...
Should we do... Can we do trivia?
Trivia.
Yeah. All right. Guys, this is the part we give back to you, the lovely audience. Thank you so much for showing up. We really appreciate it. It's an opportunity to win $25 free. Who would like $25 free? Simply raise your hand. A simple
All you have to do is
raising
up
of the hand. For 20. Yes, you, first hand up guy. All right, sir, what is your name?
I'm Jerry. Hello.
Hey, Jerry. All right, so how this works is I'm going to read you a question, listen to all three possible answers, get all three right, you'll win $25.
Cool.
All right, here we go. Today's trivia is on This Week in Comics, so stuff that came out this past week. Thank you, Boothman.
You're welcome.
In BPRD Vampire Number 1, which I really enjoyed, but we didn't talk about it on the show because of people being dicks. What does Agent Anders want to do to the vampires? Is it A, kill them all, B, do tests on them, or C, snuggle with them? So it's either A, which is correct, or B.
I think it's A.
A, yeah!
Nice. I love BPRD.
In Thunderbolts number 7, Thunderbolts has been getting really good lately. And then, of course, I find out Daniel White's leaving me after all these years of amazing stuff.
Real editorial question.
Thunderbolts number 7. Who do the Thunderbolts turn against? Is it A, Elektra, B, Red Hulk, or is it C, Serpentor? So it's either A, Elektra, or B, Red Hulk.
Is it Red Hulk?
Yes, it is, okay. Sir.
Nice. Way to really ask.
Here we go. Last one. In issue number 1 of Guardians of the Galaxy. Who do the Guardians run into in space, kind of randomly? Is it A, Iron Man, because he just happened to build a new suit that could go into space? Or is it B, Captain America? Or is it C, Leonard Nimoy?
C makes sense.
A is correct.
Nice.
Congratulations. $25 free.
Fantastic. Guys, as we all know, tomorrow is New Comic Book Day. We recommend you go to Midtown Comics because they've been nice enough to sponsor the show. Pete, what are you looking forward to?
I'm looking forward to this Lock and Key, if we heard so much about
Lock and Key Omega number 4.
Yeah. See, I'm Pete, nervous about how this is going to wrap up.
I mean, see Pete get his snog on.
Snog? Way to use the British terminology.
You're welcome.
You're so worldly.
Yes.
I mean, I would, of course, say Lock and Key number 4 because it's my
debut
into the Lock and Key universe. Very excited about that. I'm also looking forward to Thanos Rising number 1 from Marvel. It seems Thanos is going to be an important player in the Marvel U coming up. Perhaps mostly based on the movie coming out, but I'm excited. I like that character.
Yeah, and this is written by Jason Aaron and drawn by Simone Bianchi.
Ooh.
And
great team.
Chatting with Jason Aaron about it, he talked about it as it's a serial killer story, and he got super into serial killers and researching serial killers for this.
He tried to murder you.
He tried to slit my throat.
Yeah.
Didn't work.
Still at large.
Yeah, exactly.
Still at large. He told me he was going to murder me, so at least
you can't convict
legally
him.
I can't stop him.
Yeah.
Anyway, it should be a good book. I'm really looking forward to Glory number 34 is coming out.
The last
out.
Issue?
It's the last issue, I think.
We're looking forward to Glory starring Matthew Broderick. great. I just rented it.
Literally anything with Matthew Broderick. Just pick it up tomorrow.
How can you go wrong?
Glory number 34 has been a reboot of the Extreme character written by Joe Keating, and the book has been awesome, and it's building to an apocalyptic end. Can't wait to see how it finishes up. Craig, what are you looking
for? I'm
excited
to see Superman's secret identity so we can finally find out who Superman
is
behind the mask.
Great, big reveal. Yeah. Everyone's real wound up about it.
And Craig, plug your stuff. What should people check out?
Oh, yeah. Check out Your Pretty Face is Going to Hell, April 18th at midnight. There's 6 episodes coming out, and it's that episode podcast at splitsider.com or craigrowan.com or CrazeRowan.com.
Don't go to that site.
Don't do it. Don't do it.
Only it's if you want to see some crazy shit.
Some crazy shit.
No.
Craig, do you look forward to the day when someone comes on your podcast and chooses your show? to review.
That would be really awkward, weird, but awesome because it would only be 11 minutes, so we wouldn't have to. Yeah. I was saying before the show that sometimes I have to watch like a 45-minute episode with somebody that I don't know that well, and sometimes it gets a little awkward.
So. But ours was totally cool, right, bro?
Yeah. Yo, bro. Ours was awesome. It was not. It was really awkward.
Next week on the show, Frank Barbiere is going to be here. He is the writer of Five Ghosts, The Haunting of Fabian Gray, which we talked about last week on the show, and you liked a lot.
I liked a lot, and it's been killing it in sales. Yeah, it's a good book.
There you go. Also, thank you to our fabulous interns, Iman Bell, Brandon Dadenhofer, Tom Herdar, Craig Fletcher, David McKay, Patty Tenicella, and Riley Trahan. Pete.
Friend us on Facebook so you get to hear about all the amazing guests we have on the show. Also, check out the Big City Dare to Draw.
Follow us on Twitter at Comic Book Live. Sorry.
Cool. And now it's time for audience questions. Check us out at comicbookclublive.com, nerdist.com for the podcast, and more. A couple of people we want to thank before we go. We want to thank Craig for being on the show.
Yeah, thank you.
Bootman! But most of all, we want to thank you guys. We're here every Tuesday night at Fontana's in New York, totally free. Please tell your friends. Good night.
Thanks, everybody.